Yeah, it's sinful. The Bible done right and says it's not Adam and Steve, you know, it's Adam and Eve.
As a parent myself, I have a big concern in terms of this push towards legitimizing the practice of homosexuality.
Everybody have their own choice. I am not for it, but there's nothing I can do about it.
We don't know what experience where a man get for being with another man, so how could I judge him? We got to leave him and let him be.
We don't want them to impose it on us. It is the normal thing for a man and a woman to come together and establish a family. That's what we see as the righteous way that will create a positive society.
The voices of some Jamaicans I met at a busy shopping center in Kingston, Jamaica's capital city, offering their thoughts about homosexuality. I'm Dr. Keon West, and this is Across Jamaica's Gay Divide on the BBC World Service. The issue of gay rights is being hotly debated around the world, and nowhere more conspicuously than here, partly because Jamaica has acquired an international reputation for anti-gay prejudice, and partly because of an internal debate about Jamaica's so-called buggery law, legislation that outlaws anal penetration even between consenting adults. I now live in the UK, where I work as a social psychologist at the University of London. I am firmly in support of equal treatment for gay people. In fact, it's an important aspect of my research. However, it wasn't always that way. I grew up in a fundamentalist Christian family in Kingston, Jamaica, and for much of my life, I was openly hostile to gay rights and, in fact, to gay people. We're in the heart of Kingston, standing in a parking lot just outside of a number of different commercial buildings. There's an ackee tree to my left, there's a fountain behind it. We're about to walk into JFLAG. Jamaica has become notorious for anti-gay violence. In particular, the murder of a cross-dressing teenager, Dwayne Jones, has drawn a lot of international attention. But is this violence the norm for gay people, or are these attacks exceptional? JFLAG is Jamaica's most prominent gay rights organization, and I went to speak to the director, Dane Lewis, to get his perspective.
Almost on a daily basis, JFLAG gets calls. Just people being threatened in their communities, family members not being able to negotiate this issue of sexual orientation. And much like the Dwayne Jones scenario, more and more young people are being kicked out by family members and being made more vulnerable.
Describe what happened to Dwayne Jones.
Well, what we understand was that from the age of 14, and he died at 16, his own family had kicked him out.
Why did they kick him out?
Because of his sexual orientation. I don't think he was cross-dressing just yet. He was on the street, homeless for quite some time.
And what happened to him?
Dwayne and his friends went to a street dance in Montego Bay. Some of the men around were not sure whether he was a man or a woman. A church sister who he had seen before the dance outed him, and then he suddenly made his way to the front of the dance just to get away from the suspicions. That ended up with the crowd chasing after him, and he was stabbed, beaten, and then shot three times, and also a car ran over him and left to die on the side of the road.
A lot is said about violence against gay men in Jamaica. But what about gay women? Yalna and Angeline run the organization Quality of Citizenship Jamaica, which represents the lesbian and bisexual communities. I asked Yalna whether there is more violence against gay men than against lesbians.
Just because those are the ones in the newspaper or on the news doesn't mean that the lesbians aren't affected. Right now, we have instances of corrective rape happening in Jamaica. Butch women or more masculine-looking women are being targeted for rape and violence.
Corrective rape is exactly what it sounds like. Raping someone because of their sexual orientation with the intention of fixing or correcting their sexuality. I asked Angeline how often this happened.
In almost everything, as it relates to the LGBT community in Jamaica, data is lacking. When sexual violence is reported from a lesbian or bisexual woman, the data isn't collected as being targeted towards this woman. And so the only issues of sexual violence that we can classify as corrective rape are the ones that come to us. So we will hear about a lesbian couple in Portmore who was raped, and we know that they were targeted. I was raped. I know I was targeted. So for me, that was a corrective rape.
No, I don't want to push you a lot on that, but you said that you knew that you were targeted. How did you know that?
How did I know? Well, it was a setup. It was in 2009, and I was a part of an LGBT Caribbean website. And I met a woman on that website, spoke to her on the phone. I went to meet her, but I went with a friend because I took my own advice, which is to not go somewhere alone to meet a stranger. Long story short, we were set up on and we were robbed at gunpoint and raped. Oh, I need to clarify that. According to Jamaican law, I was not raped. I was sexually assaulted because Jamaican law defines rape as penile-vaginal penetration. My friend was raped. She's a butch. I was there. I saw it. Why I say I was targeted is that the person I met online knew that I am a lesbian, knew that the person who was coming with me was also a lesbian. And even though the guy with the gun did not say that I'm raping you because you're a lesbian, he alluded to the fact that they knew that we're lesbians and this is what you deserve.
Does this affect you on a day-to-day basis? I would have nightmares.
I had nightmares. It stopped somewhat, but it affects me in the way that I'm just very aware. And it's somewhat tiring when every time you walk, you have to be looking over your shoulder. You have to keep thinking, you know, what if, what if, what if? I can't walk with protection. I can't carry a licensed firearm. I can't carry a knife because it's an offensive weapon. So how else am I going to protect myself? All I have to do basically is worry and watch.
Angeline and Yalna do more than worry. They collect data. In one instance, they surveyed 101 lesbian and bisexual women and found that almost half of them had been the victims of sexual violence of some kind. These are very high numbers. But is this violence particular to lesbians? Or is it, as some people claim, just as common for heterosexual women as for lesbians in Jamaica? Shirley Richards is part of the Jamaica Coalition for a Healthy Society, a lobby group concerned with sexual issues. They promote the family and marriage and consider homosexuality to be a vice. She emphasizes that her group is against violence of any kind.
Unfortunately, we live in a country in which violence is used as a means of settling disputes. It is really at ridiculous levels. We really need to deal with the problem of violence against all persons. Women and children are particularly at risk in this society.
She quoted a recent interview with a British police officer, now retired, who spent 8 years working with the Jamaica Constabulary Force.
I'm reading from an item in the Observer, July 8, 2012. Assistant Commissioner of Police Les Green rubbished a common claim by the gay community and international rights groups that homosexuals in Jamaica are victims of wanton murder, mob mauling, and marginalization. JFLAG has for years, and that's our local LGBT group, contended that gay people have been marginalized in Jamaica. But Green said, while that may have been the case in the past, the country has come a long way to tolerating the homosexual lifestyle.
So my name is Javian Nelson. I'm a human rights advocate here in Jamaica, particularly for LGBT people.
And you are not just an advocate, you're a member of that community.
Right, yes.
Well, some people say that, you know, this anti-gay violence is a myth. This is gay people being violent against other gay people. Do you experience this yourself in your day-to-day life?
Thankfully, I've never been directly exposed to violence, but I have close friends who have been exposed. The violence is very, very much real. But what has been happening is that we've not necessarily had that great level of investigations into these incidents. The gay LGBT rights community does call on the police to investigate thoroughly what has happened so that we can all know if this was homophobic and whether or not it was a crime of passion. There is still a need for the perpetrator to be brought to justice.
What we're walking towards is a visibility protest. Some of the LGBT community in Jamaica are standing outside Devon House. It's one of the busiest streets we have. There are not that many people, there are about 20 people, and they're holding rainbow flags.
I'm here because I have been a victim of hate crime.
Are you comfortable saying what kind of hate crime?
In my community, I was told to leave or I would die. I've been held up at knife point, pushed against wall, pushed around.
Did you believe those threats were genuine or was that just talk?
Trust me, they were. They were genuine.
And you didn't report them?
I did report them, but it was the hell. Went to the police station and they tried and tried their best to find every reason not to take my report.
Gays in Jamaica, we're not safe.
Are you not safe?
Are there attacks on gay people in Jamaica for being gay?
Verbal, physical, very much so.
Have you experienced these attacks?
Multiple times.
Are you worried for your safety?
I'm standing to you right now and I'm shaking.
You can see people driving past and the traffic slows down at this point. They're looking straight at us. I feel nervous, I must admit. Some of that might just be my own head. But so many people driving past, so many people staring, so many people beeping. Now you have a sign that says invisibility equals death. No more invisibility. Why do you say that?
Because you're basically hiding who you really are, who you really want to be. You're suppressing it. You're killing yourself emotionally.
Could you give me some specific examples of ways in which your rights aren't respected?
Not be able to freely express yourself. If I've been labeled as being homosexual, it's been said that it's a bad thing. Even in the churches, who preaches and against it, they say it's a bad thing. The churches do influence Jamaica.
May I just invite you, just your hands together and welcome the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise and worship Him.
It's hard to overestimate the significance of the church in Jamaica.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We serve a great, big, wonderful God. Hallelujah. Let's give Him some praise this morning.
There isn't really a separation between church and state here. Not only do many Jamaicans attend church every Sunday and Bible classes during the week, but the church runs many institutions, including many schools. It is hugely powerful, culturally and socially.
We want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across the sky. Let all that makes Jesus.
Hi, good morning. Good, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you too.
Reverend Lenworth Anglin represents several churches under the umbrella group Church of God, a collection of charismatic, evangelical Protestant churches. They are the second largest group in Jamaica and are extremely vocal. Arguably, they set the tone for Jamaica's religious perspective.
We consider that since the Bible is very strongly against it, there must be a reason why the Bible holds that position. And if you will recall, we have several references to the destruction of Sodom. We have in the New Testament, in the book of Romans and in the book of Corinthians, where that kind of lifestyle is described as wrong and against God.
What are the bad things that will happen if Jamaica is allowed to go down the path of accepting the gay lifestyle as a normal thing?
We believe, and I'm one of those who would declare it emphatically, that righteousness, doing the things that are biblically right, will be an advantage to any country. Anything that goes against the word of God, not just homosexuality, will bring disfavor and will bring even the wrath of God. And that cannot be good for any nation or any individual. That's the biblical position.
This is a BBC World Service with Across Jamaica's Gay Divide. Christianity is the largest religion in Jamaica. However, the Rastafarians, though smaller in number, still have a powerful voice, and in many ways continue to set the cultural tone. I visited Muta Baruka, a practicing Rasta and one of our best-known living poets, and began by asking him why homosexuality is seen as wrong.
We have to understand where that culture is coming from. We came here as Africans, as slaves. We had our own culture, we had our own religious beliefs and practices. We were given the Bible. If you take away the Bible from Jamaican people, they don't have a spiritual connection to nothing. Now, these uneducated ex-slaves was told that this book is the word of God. The people is going towards this book because the same people who's now saying that homosexuality should be accepted is the same people who gave them that book to say that homosexuality should not be accepted. I think the people who is upholding gay rights, including in England and Canada and America, they should see how to get the book off the shelf. They should see that this book is the problem.
But some Christians that we've spoken to say that Christianity isn't unique in this at all, that the Rastafarians are just like the Christians.
Because most Rastafari Aboriginal is not exempt from what the society and the old slave master has taught them. It is the book that is defining what is wrong and what is right.
Let's start with before.
This is the very beginning.
Laura is a transgender woman.
You have a beard. You look very masculine. There's no question here that this is definitely a man in this picture.
And that's mid-transition.
She started taking hormones 10 years ago, self-medicating by the internet.
And then this photo is around 6 years ago.
And this is a woman. Mm-hmm. And you can lay them
like many members of the gay and transgender communities, the general view that it is wrong to deviate from the heterosexual norm had a devastating effect on her.
When I was younger, I thought, yeah, God, it was punishing me for something. And I wrestled with that for years. I attempted suicide probably more than six times. Crashed my car twice. I tried to hang myself. I even tried to overdose myself on everything that was in the medicine cabinet.
Jamaicans would look at you, they'd say, look, this is not gender assignment. This is something is wrong with you. Something bad happened to you. If you're sick, you're perverted.
These people don't know anything. I didn't know what I was in the beginning. I figured out what was my issue by finding a psychiatrist who pointed out to me that you identify as a woman. Your mental makeup is female. It's not like I just decided to get up and say, I'm going to become a woman. It's the worst possible life. Being transgender or transsexual is worse than being gay.
How is it worse?
Especially in Jamaica, the trans community is literally invisible.
Even among the gay community?
Even among the gay community.
Tracy Ann is head of Women for Women Jamaica, which provides safe spaces for lesbian, bisexual, and transgender women to come together. Like Laura's gender, Tracy Ann's sexuality is not something she feels she can control.
It's hard to try to explain to people that you don't choose it. It's not a phase. You know, my mother says it's a phase.
How long has it been a phase?
33 years old. It can't be a phase for 33 years.
I mean, you've always known
this. I've always known this, even if I didn't have a name.
Have you ever tried to change it?
I'm not going to say that I've tried to change it. What I tried to do was to go along with the straight side and got married. That didn't work out so
well. You got married to a man. You really tried it. And you put yourself into it.
I really did.
I'm just going to have sex with this man and make it work. And I'm going to keep trying until it works.
And it didn't work.
And it's never worked.
It's never worked. There are some women who will say to you that I was hurt by a man, whether I was raped or I was molested or I was just seriously heartbroken by too many men. And one day I just decided, you know what? I don't think a woman can do any worse. And they never went back to a man. In that instance, it would have been their choice. But for the most part, women will tell you that they've known from a very, very young age. You don't choose to be victimized. You don't choose to be the brunt of all of these derogatory terms. Who in their right mind would want to choose that?
But the dominant view in Jamaica is that homosexuality is a choice. This is the position of the Love March movement, a faith-based youth organization that promotes sexual purity and family values in Jamaica. Their president is Daniel Thomas.
I believe that the devil is out to get all of us, and it would make sense for him to let different stuff pull us in a direction that would destroy us. There is a spiritual dimension to sin, but primarily it's definitely a choice. And one can choose to leave the homosexual lifestyle. That's why there are organizations like PFOX, Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays, that have been providing the emotional support for persons who are leaving the gay community. And the gay community, they've just been really hostile towards these people that dare to exist.
Maurice Tomlinson does not believe that a person's sexuality can be altered by choice. He is a legal advisor working for the international organization AIDS Free World. I spoke to him at Devon House in Kingston, where we found shelter from some heavy Caribbean rain.
Your orientation is who you're attracted to. You have no control over that. I went through that ex-gay cure myself.
Were you temporarily cured then, you would say?
No. My behavior changed. I was able to have intercourse with a female. The challenge, though, was that I had to most of the time be thinking about a man to keep an erection. In fact, Exodus International, the largest anti-gay group in the United States, closed down because they admitted that 99.9% of the people who went through this cure weren't in fact cured. And the head of the organization now says that he's a homosexual man living with a heterosexual woman.
Reverend Anglin insists a cure is possible.
I have had to counsel with gay members of churches.
So you've counseled gay
people and I've seen them change their lifestyle.
You've seen them not be gay anymore at the end of it.
As a result of the counsel, prayer and fasting, and this is something I'm talking about personally, I have not heard it. It's something I've had to work with. And we understand the struggle. But that doesn't justify the behavior. Because a thing is wrong doesn't mean that we condemn the person. In fact, we balance that with our offer of compassion, counseling, and care.
You say you've counseled people through and you've seen them change, and they've come out the other side.
Yes.
Not gay anymore.
No.
And do you think then being gay is a choice? It's something you choose to do or choose not to do?
We believe that it is a choice. We believe it's a learned behavior.
And then do you think that heterosexuality is also a choice?
When you say heterosexuality is also a choice, what do you mean?
Some people would argue that if you're going to say that being gay is a choice, then being straight is a choice.
Yes.
So both have to be a choice.
It's a choice, because if you have an alternative, it means you have a choice.
Now, I'm a straight person. I see my own sexuality as so ingrained, so unchangeable, that the idea of somebody who could turn it on or turn it off is strange to me.
Yeah, no, and that's a fundamental point. Perhaps we have to define choice. Perhaps I should say persons are influenced into making a choice. But we believe that based on how the Bible predominantly describes human beings and talks about male-female relationship as the ideal. I mean, I'm thinking even to some of those that I've had to relate to, that when they explain to me reasons why, I have to understand that ultimately they could have decided otherwise, but they were influenced.
You're listening to Across Jamaica's Gay Divide on the BBC World Service with me, Keon West. After the news, we'll hear about the current fight over Jamaica's so-called anti-gay legislation and visit one church where gay members are welcomed as such.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
The BBC World Service.
This month's Your Money is in China, broadcasting live from Shanghai.
We'll look at the big money issues that matter to Chinese households, but will resonate wherever you live in the world. As house prices in China keep rising and the government tries to cool the market, we'll meet a young couple desperate to buy their first home, whatever the cost. And would you be tempted by a credit card studded with Swarovski crystals? With more than 350 million credit cards already issued, banks in China are enticing customers not just with bling, but with attractive rewards and discounts. But are they encouraging some to live beyond their means? We want to hear your experiences too. Email us at wsym@bbc.co.uk or use the hashtag BBCMoney.
Join Paul Lewis and Linda Yu for Your Money online from Wednesday at bbcworldservice.com.
You're listening to the BBC World Service, and I'm Keon West. After the news, I will be getting to grips with the gay rights legal case being so fiercely debated in Jamaica.
Jamaica's motto is out of many, one people, which speaks to inclusiveness. Getting rid of the anti-sodomy law will allow one segment of the society, which is currently not able to benefit from the rights of regular citizens, to be included.
The second part of Across Jamaica's Gay Divide continues right after the news.
BBC News with Jerry Smith. Officials in the Philippines say many people have been killed by Typhoon Haiyan, one of the most powerful storms ever to make landfall. On the island of Leyte, more than 100 people are feared dead in the city of Tacloban, which was flooded by a storm surge. In Vietnam, more than 100,000 people are being evacuated as the typhoon heads that way. Negotiations on Iran's nuclear program are entering an unscheduled third day amid signs that a deal could be close. On Friday, the American Secretary of State John Kerry and Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif held 5 hours of talks, which officials from both sides described as productive. Chinese leaders are meeting in Beijing to set a reform agenda for the next decade. Over the next 4 days, they'll discuss the need to refocus the economy on domestic demand rather than the export market, as well as financial and land reforms. The son of Suriname's president has been charged by the United States with attempting to provide material support to a foreign terrorist organization. Prosecutors allege Dine Bortez was paid millions of dollars to supply weapons and provide a base for Hezbollah fighters. Mr. Bortez denies the charges. For the third time in as many months, voters in the Maldives are choosing a new president. The likely victor, former President Mohamed Nasheed, won an earlier annulled poll in September. An American prosecutor has been jailed for 10 days, fined and barred from practicing law after being found guilty of hiding evidence that led to a man being jailed for a murder he didn't commit. Ken Anderson, a district attorney in Texas, was found in contempt of court in the murder trial of Michael Morton, who spent nearly 25 years in prison. The Chess World Championships is starting in the Indian city of Chennai. The reigning champion, Vishwanathan Anand, is facing off against the world number one, Magnus Carlsen. BBC News.
This is Jermaine Edwards. All the radical youth step does know that Jesus Christ is real.
You're listening to Across Jamaica's Gay Divide with me, Dr. Keon West, on the BBC World Service. Here in Jamaica, a recent legal battle has challenged a piece of 19th century legislation that makes anal intercourse illegal, even between consenting adults. It's created a fierce debate about gay rights for men and women, and I've come back to my hometown, Kingston, to examine the repercussions of both the law and the challenge to it.
Right, you're tuned into Love March of Bell. Just a timely reminder, as you come, please register, followed by which you get your placards, and of course,
the music and DJ you're hearing are from the 2013 Love March in Kingston. This youth movement operates, in their own words, from a biblical worldview with the aim of promoting sexual purity. They are against extramarital sex, pornography, child abuse, and homosexuality. By extension, they are also against the repeal of the so-called buggery law. Daniel Thomas is president of the Love March movement.
Love is at the fulcrum of what we do. We are saying this stuff because we care about you. It's not because we want to bash you over the head or tell you what to do. We actually care about people. We love our country. We love future generations of Jamaicans that are not yet born. And we love those who are struggling now. So we are dedicated to speaking that truth in love to even homosexuals to let them know. And I say it over and over. We care about you guys. This lifestyle is disruptive. Fathers who decide to leave their children, we say the same thing to them, and we say that to fornicators as well. Sexual impurity and poor decisions are seriously draining our economy and draining our people emotionally.
I'm here in Port Royal, Jamaica's old capital city. And across the harbor, you can see Kingston, a few of the tall buildings. There are huge boats floating around in the harbor, but it's nothing like it used to be. It used to be Jamaica's large, shining capital city. But it was also supposed to be a city of such wickedness, people say, that God destroyed Port Royal in an earthquake. This is Jamaica's version of Sodom and Gomorrah. You see in Port Royal the remnants of our colonial history. You see the things that the Spanish and the British brought over with them. And with them, they didn't just bring this infrastructure, they brought this law. Whosoever shall be convicted of the abominable crime of buggery, committed either with mankind or with any animal, shall be liable to be imprisoned and kept to hard labor for a term not exceeding 10 years.
Port Royal is no longer what it was. It's no longer holding on to its former glory. This law continues to influence Jamaican life today. It stands in the way of what some people feel is their right to live as full Jamaican citizens. And for others, it stands in the way of the collapse of Jamaica into moral depravity. But this 150-year-old law is being challenged in court for the first time. It will be heard before the Supreme Court later this month. Javed Jagai, who is bringing the case, and his legal team don't want to repeal the law, as that would leave Jamaica without legislation to prosecute anal rape. They want its force to be limited so that two consenting adults, homosexual or heterosexual, will not be breaking the law if they have anal sex. Shirley Richards is part of the group, the Jamaica Coalition for a Healthy Society, who are campaigning to keep this legislation as it is.
What the law does is to provide a principle. It says, stop, you're going the wrong way. It's also a protective barrier to society because the whole matter of anal penetration is something which is dangerous to the health of the individual and also to the society generally. It also undergirds marriage. Without that law, then anything goes. You go straight to same-sex marriage. Thankfully, marriage has been enshrined in our constitution. But look what happened in the USA with DOMA. Here was marriage enshrined in a law, but that too was repealed.
DOMA, the USA's Defense of Marriage Act, prevented the federal government from legally recognizing same-sex marriages. It was deemed unconstitutional in June 2013. This is Maurice Tomlinson of AIDS Free World, the organization behind Javed Jagai's legal case.
We look at all the countries where marriage equality has happened and point out that there hasn't been the Sodom and Gomorrah, there hasn't been the earthquakes, etc. But these persons seem to be impervious to evidence. But they're very happy to jump on a plane and go to these societies and vacation there, send their kids to school there. But they claim that the minute Jamaica becomes like those societies, it will disintegrate into some kind of anarchical state.
Once a country starts on that path, certain fundamental rights come under threat. As I think we all accept, free speech is important when it comes to the search for truth. Yet still, Adrian Smith was demoted in 2012 because he dared to put on his private Facebook page, and this he did on his own computer, working in his own time, in relation to the proposal that same-sex marriages would have been legitimized in church. And he said, this is equality gone too far. For that, his company demoted him. There just seems to be an international push that stifles and condemns all forms of dissent, which we think is extremely dangerous.
World is in trouble. Anytime Mojo Banton come, Batsy boy and get up and run. A gunshot in the head back. It's like boom.
Many Jamaicans argue that freedom of speech has already been limited as a result of the gay lobby. As far back as the 90s, the dancehall artist Buju Banton's career was in serious jeopardy when his anti-gay song Boom Bye Bye caused international outrage. That's the sound of a gunshot in a gay man's head. Real men can't promote these nasty men. They have to die. Dr. Carolyn Cooper is a professor of literary and cultural studies at the University of the West Indies and the author of Sound Clash, Jamaica's Dancehall Culture at Large. Even though Boom Bye Bye was a hugely controversial song, she saw this as actively encouraging free speech.
What I did say when Boom Bye Bye came out was that one of the benefits of that song is that it pushed homosexuality on the agenda for public discourse. I can't remember any time in Jamaica where there was that intense conversation around the issue.
And more recently, in August 2013, there was an outcry when another artist, Queen Ifrika, praised heterosexuality at Jamaica's Independence Grand Gala. Allegedly, she was then no longer welcome to sing at an engagement in Canada after pressure from the international gay community.
You feel like a bad man, keep it to yourself. Don't bring it to Jamaica, keep it to yourself. We no want that a jam rock, keep it to yourself. We can't take no more slackness.
Even if you think you're tough, don't bring this to Jamaica. We don't want any more immorality. And you must be insane if you think you can change Jamaica.
We don't want any fish in our natural Jamaican food.
Every self-respecting DJ has to have a song attacking homosexuality. It's like one of those conventions of the genre. The DJs see themselves as a voice of the people, articulating dominant values, one of which is seeing homosexuality as abnormal and therefore unacceptable.
The Rastafarian and dub poet, Muta Baruka.
So within this society, you know, we are trying to protect all the citizens, but the citizens we are trying to protect is making it very difficult for artistic expression to thrive. When somebody get up and say, okay, we're using language that is anti-gay. It's not anti-gay. You're just describing yourself. If I describe myself, how is that anti-gay? Which Queen Africa have a true name? I don't want no fish in my ital dish. That's metaphors.
And the metaphor is fish is?
Yeah, gays. If I say I don't want no fish in my ital dish, that is not homophobic. I mean, to me, that's not homophobic. That thing no get Jamaican people who love Queen Africa and love freedom of speech vexed.
But Maurice Tomlinson makes it clear that freedom of speech is not something under threat, just a dangerously aggressive anti-gay rhetoric.
The right to freedom of expression does not include a right to incite violence. It never did. And so that is what we're asking the courts to actually enforce. Jamaica's motto is out of many, one people, which speaks to inclusiveness. So getting rid of the anti-sodomy law will allow one segment of the society which is currently not able to benefit from the rights of regular citizens to be included.
Yes, out of many, one people.
Shirley Richards.
It means no matter our racial makeup, if you notice, we are made up of different hues and different races, and we're trying to build racial harmony here, but it doesn't mean that we have to tolerate the behavior of all persons. But at the same time, we respect them for their inherent dignity as a human being.
You're listening to Across Jamaica's Gay Divide here on the BBC World Service. Susan Goff is a human rights activist and part of Jamaicans for Justice, a non-partisan citizens' rights organization.
To me, it has become this very curious thing to have people publicly saying that almost the linchpin of Jamaican society is the 1864 law. Priests and ministers talking about Christians need to be prepared to die to protect the buggery law. You know, you sort of have to do a double take, and pointing to these examples in other societies which say, yes, it's a slippery slope, you will lose freedom of speech, you will lose freedom of religion. There is a level of fear and paranoia that has to be challenged.
That reference to being prepared to die comes from a sermon that the Reverend Lenworth Anglin gave.
I didn't say that I am prepared to die if the homosexuals kill me.
What are you prepared
to die for? We're talking general, for truth.
For truth.
For truth. In the same way that our martyrs, our pioneers died for the freedom that we now have. And if at all we are attacked, I'm not saying it is going to be so, because human beings are human beings. And I do get some hate mails.
Who is sending the hate mail?
I don't know, but I do get some hate mails. I would not be talking about violence against anybody, and I want that to be clear. But if it comes to the test where I am threatened, if I am threatened, I'm not going to back down from my position. That's the price I'm prepared to pay for standing for the Christian truth and the gospel.
Reverend Anglin is not alone in having received threats. Many people on both sides, myself included, receive hate mail.
Hi. Hey, hi. Betty Anglin.
Another common concern in Jamaica is the perceived link between homosexuality and pedophilia. Betty Ann Blaine runs two children's charities. I spoke to her at the Caribbean Graduate School of Theology, where she works as a holistic child development coordinator.
One of the problems that I have as a children's advocate is that the buggery of children, interestingly enough, has been increasing in Jamaica over the last several years. And so when I speak publicly, I say, quite frankly, if this continues, then I don't see how you can repeal the law. You should be strengthening the law.
Do you think this is normal behavior in the gay community, the abuse of children?
Well, I don't know. And this is because we have not done the studies. What we know is that children are sexually abused. And by the way, it's not just, again, homosexuals. There's a lot of heterosexual sexual abuse of our children.
And what about the gay adults who say, look, this is unfair to us. We know that it's important to protect the children, but you know, they're not raping children, and that it puts them in a negative light in society.
Well, I don't believe that all gays rape children, so let me be clear on that. But the gays have never stood up for the rape of children, and the Jamaican gay community must be held responsible for that.
And that increase in assaults against children that Betty Ann mentioned is according to Jamaica's Office of the Children's Registry, although I wasn't able to verify exactly by how much. Reverend Anglin again.
In my pastoral experience, I have seen a very close connection between pedophilia activities and homosexuality. I have had to actually deal with that with some other persons.
Maurice Tomlinson sees these links not only as erroneous, but also dangerous, with health implications for MSMs, men who have sex with men.
You cannot equate pedophilia with what two consenting adults choose to do in the privacy of their bedroom and how they choose to express their love for each other.
Some medical professionals say that if we remove the law, that will cause a rampant spread of HIV throughout Jamaica.
I think those medical professionals need to revisit the evidence which they rely on. The point is that HIV and AIDS is driven by unprotected sex with an infected partner. And the law right now prevents many MSM, men who have sex with men, from coming forward. And we've seen that across the world. Now, getting rid of the law will not be the be-all and end-all, by no means. That was never argued. But it is the most important first step to ensure that men feel comfortable coming forward to get prevention, treatment, care, and support interventions.
Shirley Richards, part of the Jamaica Coalition for a Healthy Society, believes that anal intercourse is dangerous for MSMs.
98% of the difference in the HIV rates between MSMs and heterosexuals can be explained by anal receptive intercourse. That was in Lancet 2012. MSM is the only group with increasing HIV in countries of all income levels. Now, if anal penetration was the very same as vaginal penetration, then why is it that the rates are going up only in the MSM group? So we want to tell people that the repeal of the law is neither sufficient nor is it necessary to deal with HIV/AIDS. What needs to happen is that people need to change their behavior. I wish one day we could see signs saying anal penetration is dangerous. When are we going to see such signs across the world?
Pretty much anybody can do a research and anyone can present information and say this is factual.
Javier Nelson, gay rights activist and member of JFLAG, Jamaica's most prominent gay rights organization.
The challenge is that they have more privilege than the LGBT community, so they get more space to promote their misinformation and misuse data.
Javian argues that the 2012 Lancet edition Shirley Richards referenced has been misinterpreted. JFLAG went back to the academic who published it.
Professor Chris Baer wrote an opinion letter for us for the Jamaica Gleaner asking them to stop misusing his data because this is not what he has been saying. And Chris responded with some information about his study and the fact that there are also cultural nuances which help to perpetuate these things. The unfortunate thing is that because he doesn't work here, then he wouldn't have also been able to add the other nuance, which is that the study here in Jamaica was largely done among males who are highly socially vulnerable. So they're unemployed, they've spent a night in jail, they use drugs, they're uneducated, they live on the streets. So, you know, automatically...
You don't think this data is representative?
It's not fully representative. Yeah.
Dr. Garth Rattray is a medical doctor who also writes a regular column in the Jamaica Gleaner, one of the leading national newspapers.
Frankly, it is obvious that that part of the anatomy, it hasn't got the protective mechanisms for that kind of activity. But my problem is that that's not the issue. If you're going to talk about STIs, it's more important to talk about not having outside relationships. That is where things are spread. So if it is a relationship that is monogamous, then it's impossible to get that HIV if it wasn't there before.
The rectum just not being designed for intercourse. Some people say, well, that's all the evidence we need to show that this isn't natural, and it makes sense to keep it illegal.
You know, my point is, what is natural? To me, once the door is closed between two consenting adults, that's their business, you know. It's the lifestyle that's the problem.
What about the lifestyle?
Anybody who is promiscuous will transmit HIV more than anybody not promiscuous.
And are they naturally promiscuous, homosexuals?
No. In fact, you know what? I have a patient who is 46 now. He's a Christian and homosexual. And he has never had intercourse in his life. He's conflicted because he's trying to be a good Christian.
In some of your Gleaner columns, you said that you think sometimes Jamaica's too religious. And what do you mean by too religious?
My point is that people who use religion as a weapon against homosexuality, they must know that most of the things in the Bible were for that particular time. I'm not saying that there are things that don't transcend. No, I'm not saying that. But you put it into perspective.
We keep coming back to the Bible. Put simply, homosexuality is against the will of God. But what about the many Christian churches around the world that see it differently, those that allow gay members and even gay pastors? I asked Reverend Anglin what he thought.
Yeah, that's a very good question, and it's a recurring question. One has to admit that persons will interpret the scriptures according to a lot of preferences and biases. There's a time when Christianity seemed to have condoned slavery. You can go to the Bible to prove anything almost based on how you interpret the scripture. There's nothing strange about the variety of opinions that exist in the Christian church. Each church, each individual, each denomination, each body will have to arrive at its own position based on scriptural interpretation. So this is why I am doing this interview in my capacity as executive chairman of the Church of God in Jamaica, for we have done our own study. We don't speak for the other churches. And I don't think it complicates the matter. It's just a matter of what I call diversity of views.
I asked children's advocate Betty Ann Blaine the same question.
They must be reading a different Bible, because we have the Bible. And those churches that support homosexuality must tell us which Bible they're using. I don't understand it myself, because the Word of God is very clear. The design of God is very clear. So I don't quite understand that, really.
We're driving up on the north coast. We've passed Ocho Rios and we're heading towards Montego Bay. Out here, the roads are long. You can see far into the distance, almost to the horizon. The traffic is sparse. The vegetation is thick, and we're heading towards the Sunshine Cathedral, which is in Montego Bay, in a secret location.
Hallelujah, he is there. Amen, he is there.
We're in a small room, kept cool by a ceiling fan. This is a church. But what's different is that this church was constructed in the few minutes that we were here. Some people came with thumbtacks, they stuck up the Metropolitan Community Church flag, and beside it, they stuck a Jamaican flag on the right and a rainbow flag on the left. There's a music stand with a cloth over it, and this is a podium. There is a table with a cloth over it. This is the altar. This is a different kind of church.
The Sunshine Cathedral is welcoming to all, and most of its congregation are gay. In Jamaica, this church is shrouded in secrecy. To gain access, we contacted the head branch of the Metropolitan Community Church in Florida months before arriving in Jamaica. And then on the ground, it took over a week to finally be able to even contact the deacon who runs it. We were never given the address. The deacon met us on the road and guided us to the location. He goes by the name of Donovan Anthony, not his real name. We have also disguised his voice so that he can't be recognized. He explained how the church started.
I remember in the days when HIV/AIDS was, I would say people were dying rapidly. And so persons wanting to find a place to get comfort and their spiritual desires. So persons within the community who are Christians would come together and pray and sing. And we would attend the funerals of our brothers.
This group became part of the Florida-based Metropolitan Community Church in 2006.
The Metropolitan Community Church believe in openness, equal rights, and justice for all. And so all are welcome, regardless of their sexual orientation.
Do you think Jamaica has achieved equal rights for gay people?
No, we have not. Our church is basically underground. We don't have any address. We don't give out much information about the church where we meet and all of that. Homophobia is still high in the Jamaican society.
Do you know people personally who've been hurt or who've been killed?
Yes.
Both hurt
yes,
and killed?
A whole lot.
A lot of people who've been...
A lot of persons that I know, they are members from within the church who have been killed and hurt. There are persons who are not members of the church who have been attacked.
There are some people in Jamaica who would question the Christianity of this church because the Bible they use says that this is an abomination.
Jesus Christ never turns back anyone. He is willing and prepared to accept anybody, regardless of sexual orientation, regardless of religion, regardless of color, class, or creed, who call upon his name and accept him as Lord and Savior. Love is pure. So if I love someone, what's wrong with that? It's a sin for me to love someone. How is it a sin to love another human being?
Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love.
Amen, amen.
It's been a long time since I was so moved by a church service. The church itself points to an increasing complexity surrounding the issue of sexuality in Jamaica. It's not as simple as the religious versus the non-religious, or gay versus straight. Education, income, belief, color, sexuality, they all mix together to create the kind of life a person can live in Jamaica. I now fully support equal rights in Jamaica and elsewhere, but for most of my life, I was hostile to them. There is no such thing as a static person or a static country. Right now, the legal battle over the buggery law is the focal point for the gay community and for those opposed to the equal treatment of gays in Jamaica. But we're not fighting over whether or not we will change. Change is inevitable. We're fighting over what we will change into. We're groping in the darkness, trying to find our way across the gap between the Jamaicans we are and the Jamaicans we would like to become. Across Jamaica's Gay Divide is a unique production for the BBC World Service. The presenter is me, Keon West, and the producer is Philippa Gearing.